Land, real estate, and real property. Land, real estate, and real property are terms that are commonly used so interchangeably that most people do not realize they are different. Land is defined as the surface of the earth, extending downward to the center of the earth and upward above the surface to infinity. This definition also includes natural things such as trees, crops, and water. Real estate includes all that land encompasses and all man-made additions to the land, improvements, such as roads, houses, and commercial buildings. Real property is a broader term, stretching beyond the physical real estate that includes the rights that a person has in the land. These rights are often referred to as the bundle of rights. These rights are severable, and it is common for different individuals to own different rights associated with the same piece of land. For example, many surface owners do not own the subsurface rights to their property. Surface rights. The owner of surface rights can develop, improve, the surface, and use the resources extracted from or near the surface, including stone, gravel, water, and limestone. Subsurface rights. Subsurface rights include the rights to oil, gas, and other minerals. Subsurface rights are commonly conveyed through a lease, mineral deed, or by reservation. A conflict exists when the owner of the subsurface estate uses the surface of the land for drilling or extraction purposes, because this use of the surface may seem to be detrimental to the surface owner. The subsurface estate is the dominant estate in Texas. Because of the subsurface estate's dominance, the surface owner cannot deny access to the subsurface owner. While dominant, there are limitations placed upon the exercise of subsurface rights. The subsurface owner may not extract minerals situated so close to the surface as to deplete the surface estate. Typical examples would include strip mining for coal or iron ore. Given the high level of oil and gas activity in Texas, the subsurface estate of a given parcel of land is often divided into fractional interests spread across many owners. The determination of subsurface ownership, rights, and interests is complex, and purchasers of real estate who are concerned about subsurface rights should consult the advice of an oil and gas attorney. Air rights. Air rights extend above the surface without limitation. As an estate in land or interest in land, air rights can be leased, sold, or mortgaged. Walkways and buildings that extend over public streets involve the lease or conveyance of air rights. Condominiums also have an easement to the airspace occupied by the unit, even though condominium owners do not own the land space beneath the unit. Outdoor advertising leases and cell tower leases also involve air rights by prohibiting any activity that would block the view of the billboard or transmissions from the cell tower. The exercise of air rights has its limitations. Building height restrictions exist around airports, and individual owners do not have the right to control the airspace above a parcel of land. The growth in the use of solar energy has opened up questions of solar access. The issue is not a new one. Under Roman law, a property owner had a right to a reasonable amount of sunlight for heating purposes. If a neighbor built a structure that blocked solar access, he could be sued for damages. As far back as 2,000 years ago, the Greeks recognized an owner's legal right to sunlight for heating purposes. Today, if a neighbor builds a structure that blocks the sun from solar panels on the neighboring property, is there possible recourse for damages? Does an owner have the right to the wind that typically blows across the property? These are questions that are being brought to and debated in the courts. The mineral estate. The surface is subservient to the minerals. The graphic below indicates that the mineral estate, usually referred to by the legal profession, is like a three-layer cake. During the Mexican land grant days, the minerals moved, undisturbed, with the land, sale after sale. Texas changed that law in the 20th century, allowing the estate to be severed. Nominally, surface rights are transferred to the new owner in total. If there are questions concerning the ownership of the mineral estate, a landman can research deeds and advise who owns the minerals. It is the royalty and executive rights that are most commonly severed. In addition to minerals rights, water rights may also be retained, sold, or even severed. A royalty right is the right to collect a royalty for the production of oil or gas in a production unit. An executive right is the right to execute a contract or lease for the exploration of oil or gas. It is not uncommon for there to be separate and various owners of either the royalty or executive rights. Thus, the estate is severed. Various forms of ownership. 1. Landowner owns all or some portion of mineral, but no executive rights. 2. Landowner owns all or some portion of the surface. 3. Landowner owns all or some portion of executive rights. 4. Landowner owns all or some portion of minerals and royalty. 5. Landowner owns nothing. Ownership of a property gives the owner the right to limit the public's access to his property. The owner may, for example, post signs notifying the public of no entrance, no trespassing, no hunting, no fishing, no trucks, not a public road, etc. These are examples of the owner controlling the surface for the public. In mineral terms, the surface is much different from the surface granted to the owner for public access. Property owners with only the surface rights granted under the mineral estate have the right to contract for sand, gravel, yellow cake, or even soft coal to be taken off their property by vendors who do this kind of work. The surface owner has no right to refuse any oil or gas exploration company from entering his property for that purpose. Thus, ownership of surface rights gives no protection for oil or gas production. Many license holders believe that ownership of the surface provides the property owner complete protection for any activity when, in fact, it does not. Example of severed mineral estate include: landowner owns surface rights only. Previous owner and his partner retained all or 100% of the royalty and own 50% each. Someone else owns 100% of the executive rights. The exploration company then comes to the executive rights owner to complete a lease agreement for the property owned above. The exploration company drills the well on the owner's property and grants him some concessions. Since he does not own any share of the royalty, the landowner cannot share in the well's revenue. If any oil or gas is found during the production period, then the two royalty owners would share in the royalties. Typical participation of each of these owners is: 1. Surface owner and owner of the land, in most cases, may negotiate improvements on his property, such as gravel roads, cattle guards, future use of any water wells, fencing, and general location of the wellhead. He may also negotiate reasonable damages to his property. 2. The royalty owners share in the revenue of the production according to their ownership. 3. The executive owner may negotiate signing bonuses, yearly payments in the form of bonuses, and even in some cases, a small part of the production company's royalty, if any. In all of these cases, the participants should receive legal advice before agreeing to any terms or signing any contracts or agreements. If the agent, particularly one specializing in farm and ranch sales, does not explain and work through an offer with knowledge of the mineral estate, the buyer could face an oil or gas well as close to the residence as 500 feet. Texas law allows 250 feet, and damages paid by the driller are usually not enough to offset the resale damage done to the residence. Texas water law. Groundwater belongs to the owner. Law of the biggest pump. Exceptions: trespass, malicious act, waste, contamination, subsidence. Surface water belongs to the state of Texas. Riparian owners had the right to use water along owned land, rivers, streams, 1967, Texas. Water Rights Adjudication Act required everyone to get a permit to use the riparian water. Wind rights. Everyone knows that Texas plays a significant role in the energy market. In addition to the oil and gas business, Texas leads the country in harnessing renewable wind energy. Farm owners with extensive acreage may lease their land to wind developers who build turbines on the property in order to convert the wind into energy. Due to the popularity and need for renewable energy sources, many questions have arisen concerning wind rights. Who really owns the wind, and are these rights severable in the same manner that mineral and water rights are severable? These are questions that have no easy answer. Landowners interested in leasing their wind rights to energy companies for wind farms should consider many different factors. Improvements. Any permanent man-made addition to the land is considered to become part of the land is known as an improvement. Buildings, landscaping, fences, patios, decks, roads, curbs are all examples of improvements. When the land is sold or otherwise transferred to a new owner, improvements, unless expressly excluded, are included in the sale. When a deed is prepared, it is understood that the improvements do not have to be listed to be transferred to the new owner.